And for me now, I'm at a place where I feel like the next part of what my stages are in grief is just to kind of let go of the control of what I expect of things and just let it kind of be. So in a weird way, I feel like taking a step back and just doing, not perceiving what's going to be, and just that being it. So I'm excited to see what comes from that. I don't know. I actually feel a bit nervous because it's doing things in a whole different way of what I've done before.
Welcome to Curious Goldfish, a podcast community where music and curiosity come together through interesting conversations with the music makers of our world. I'm your host, Jason English. You can find Curious Goldfish in all the major podcast and social media platforms. And of course, we have all of our content on our website, curiousgoldfish.com. We are continuing our conversation with Daist, the founder of We Are All Fossils. In part one, we laid the foundation of the background of this unique musical project. We talked about the origin of the name and some of the incredible things Daist has done. In the second part, he shares insights into the personal impact of losing his mother, as well as how he has organically grown his worldwide following in just the past few months. He performs a song for us called The West, and we go deep on our mutual admiration of American independent folk legend Sufjan Stevens. Both parts will be posted on YouTube, as this is also the first video podcast episode in the short history of the Curious Goldfish podcast. Once again, here's We Are All Fossils. Let's jump back in. Another track that has caught my attention is called The West.
Yeah.
What's the origin of that one?
The West, funny enough, when you were saying about Indie Folk Central, that's one of the first curators that took a song was, it was The West, and it was Indie Folk Central. They were like, oh, we love this track. And I didn't think anything of the song. It was a bit of a, I wouldn't say a throwaway song. It's something I don't remember really writing. I remember showing it to one of my best friends and him just going, you know, he gave a response, which I was like, I didn't know that was on the cards, but oh, that's amazing. But The West is, it's really to do with how you can choose to see struggles and your life. Not like it's always easy. I don't think it's easy at all. But there's a lyric in it when I say, you can save tomorrow or you can relive yesterday. You can drown in sorrow.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
Or you can feel the pain. Those things are, and they're not necessarily choices, but at some points you can align yourself with maybe thinking about tomorrow in a way of being like, you know, I'm not defined by what's happened in my past, but I can actively put forward who I believe I am every day. You know, if you're just better than than what was happening the day before, that's it. You're doing amazing, you know? So to me, that was about inspiring hope, I guess, again.
No, that's I love that line. I love that line, because it can apply to so many different situations. And like you said earlier, music should be personal, and it's funny how people put out lyrics and situations and scenes, and you're able to sort of apply that to your own experience, you know, and either get through a situation or help you think about things differently. So I love that line. Yeah. So those two are great. And again, you've talked about numbers and things like that, but you've picked up a lot of momentum, I think, in the last, you know, few months, maybe a little bit longer. And I think, you know, on Spotify, they show your number of monthly listeners. You've about 68,000 monthly listeners, which is a great number. Obviously, we hope it's going to grow and grow and grow. I guess, how recently did you see things kind of taking off for you? And what do you attribute that to?
Well, I released Fire, and I think that was in about October, maybe late September. Sorry, I'm really bad with the dates. I should know when my songs were released. That kind of just, something just resonated. It was just a good time for it to happen. I had a couple of shows booked in and around it. There's some people I work with around the like area who were helping promote things. And it was really all quite organic what we were doing. And I just kind of saw that it was, you know, doing good. And I think you learn after you've released like a lot of songs that that's completely out of your control. So enjoy it for what it is. Don't make plans thinking it's going to be like this tomorrow and like that the next day, or, you know. So the only thing I could do that I was going to enjoy to maybe make more people find the music potential was just to release some more tracks. Mm. And I then released a song with a Canadian artist. It was my first kind of international collaboration with Genesis Richter. And that was kind of out of the blue. It just worked out that Fire came out. Then our track Dead End came out like a couple of weeks like later. And then the track I did with Tassa Robertson came out a couple of weeks later after that. And none of this was really, I was like, oh, I think this is actually really bad. You shouldn't be doing this with algorithms. They'll be like, oh, he seems really needy. And then it just kind of kept snowballing and increasing. And I don't, because it's so new to me, I don't really know what to make of it all just yet. There were some days where I was like, oh, I should be doing more like stuff on Instagram. I should be doing more things on YouTube. And that's quite overwhelming for me. So I'm kind of like slowly putting some things together and still just being myself with how I started the process, and just want to do that because it feels like being yourself is just going to be the easiest, right? So just do that rather than become, you know, I think as soon as people talk about algorithms and all that kind of stuff, I check out. It's such a hard thing from a creative point to understand that there's other things at play. You know, not begrudging it or anything. That's just the kind of world that we live in. But yeah, so I'm extremely thankful for the plays. I'm scared that they'll go and then there's nothing, you know, as most people are. Or maybe it's a glitch and then they'll be like, oh, that streams that you had, we're going to have to take them away from you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you refresh it and one day it's 6,000 instead of 68,000. You know, that's like... You know,
and then somehow they send you a bill or something and you're like, what?
That's right, yeah.
I don't...
Exactly.
You know, or you have to recoup all those streams, you know. But I'm incredibly thankful for it. I think Spotify plays a role for musicians to weirdly validate, you know, where you're going. So if you're applying to maybe support a band and they look at your Spotify and there's some good, you know, numbers there, they might feel a bit more inclined to then take a chance on you. So I think it's kind of effectively like a key that opens a door, you know, slowly. But
other than some of these curated playlists and things like Indie Folk Central, you haven't really spent any time in the States, right? With your music, right? Just in person, right? So like you haven't, you know, my whole thing is like, I think, am I your first, at least American media outlet to interview
you? You are. And it's incredible because I was quite nervous about it because I was not sure really how it would feel. But then the fact that you like, we like the same artists and things like that, it just feels like this is so meant to be. Which is nice. 100%. But yeah, I would love to play in America and weirdly I think the cities that I'm the biggest in, they're in like Australia and America and Canada and the UK is like, because I don't have that much to compare it to, I don't know what other countries are like, but the UK is definitely going through a place where the grassroots music and the middle bit before the big bands, it's really like, there's so scarce, there's not much support for it's really a challenging place to be. There's a lot of us that will be in this kind of scenario, and you know, you have to redefine what you think success is and build the things around you so that you know there's so many challenges, there's so many things that you get said no to and so many opportunities that aren't you know, there, as long as you can just enjoy what you're doing firsthand, you know, and those rejections and things like that, they don't stick as much as they, you know, could do. But I pine so hard to just go and play in Australia or America. You know, a lot of the musicians that I like Gregory, I think he's from Colorado, and Nathaniel Rateliff.
Yeah, he lives in Colorado, yeah.
And Nathaniel Rateliff is also someone which I love. I adore the second album he released. It was just Falling Faster Than You Can Run. I think that's what that one's called.
Yeah, there's a great album that Nathaniel Rateliff did during COVID where it's a live album at Red Rocks and there's no one in the venue.
Yeah, I've watched that on YouTube. I think you can
incredible.
Watch it on YouTube.
Yeah. So that's really good. Well, you have to make it over. And so I live in Atlanta and your style of music would I mean, people would really dig it, at least in the South here, in the southeastern part of the country. So, and the reason I brought that up is you've had some success. It feels like it's growing and growing and growing, but really it's probably just limited, I guess, listeners and viewership that you come across, come in contact with in Great Britain, and then through these curated playlists, right? So you haven't really even intentionally done any proactive promotion in the United States. So that that's insane that you've already curated that many listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's I get a bit blown away by it. But when you put it like that, I'm like, oh my. It's kind of one of those things where you just kind of enjoy the journey of it, I guess. But coming to America, that would be amazing. I'm not sure exactly. I think in the UK, the indie folk scene is, which I kind of would put myself in, or contemporary folk. I'm not sure how you really define yourself, but it's not that widely known here to the point where people will know the same bands, you know. So Gregory Allen Isakoff, if I say that to someone else, they won't really know. The Lumineers, they would, because of Hohei. That's a big track here.
Sure.
But it's still quite in its infancy, so the dots of everybody hasn't really joined up yet. So I'm sure there's loads of indie folk artists in the UK, but it's nowhere near as big as it seems out where you guys are. I think you guys are like the promised land now. I just need to get there.
Well, no, what's cool about the Indie Folk Central too is they play a lot of artists from Australia. Mm. And not that Australia can't make great music, but I never kind of made that connection. And so I appreciate that, because, you know, it's just a great exposure to artists that you would never otherwise have heard of, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So Sufjan Stevens, the fact that you are naming your project after a lyric in one of his songs is incredible. I came across Sufjan. There's a magazine here in the States called Paste Magazine, and they used to release these samplers of all these kind of indie artists on CD, and you would you get the magazine and they'd send you a CD, which is pretty cool. And he came out with an album, I think it was 2005, called Come On Feel the Illinois, which is kind of a play on word with the state in the United States called Illinois. And the rumor at the time was he was going to do a CD or an album on every state in the United States. So I was like, okay, there's 50 albums coming out, you know, in the next however many years. And I think he only got to two.
Yeah.
He did one in Michigan and then one in Illinois. But I guess what are some of your favorite songs from Sufjan?
The one I got introduced to was the John Wayne Gacy track, which was off of the album that I think you refer to as the first,
exactly.
You know. A friend of mine in South Africa, kind of a bit of a guru for me, someone who always kind of shows me stuff at the right moments of when I'm at maybe a transitional space. He just sent me the track, and I'm not even sure if he said anything before or after. And I had it on repeat. And I just thought, I was in awe of how he wrote the track. And, you know, it's a subject matter which you can't approach lightly at all.
Oh, totally.
And it's such a, it showed me something that in music, that I was like, oh, you can do something like that. And it's okay. Because for some reason I felt like, you know, you couldn't do that kind of thing. But then that opened up the floodgates for that album, which is absolutely incredible. And
right.
There's another song off of the Michigan album. I think it's for the Widowless, or the I can't remember exactly. It's a long track title name. For the Widows in Paradise, and the Fatherless in Ypsilanti, or I think that's kind of maybe what it's called.
Right.
That had the same kind of core feelings what John Wayne Gacy track had for me, and he did it with a banjo. You often hear a banjo like really fast and, you know, showing you all these quick little notes, but that was like a sad banjo with this kind of really emotive lyrics. And then obviously the big album for me became Carrie and Lowell.
I
thought that from front to back that album was something that I couldn't stop listening to for that whole year, and maybe the year after, because it was incredible. I like how personal his vocals always feel when you hear him, you
right.
know. There's no denying when you hear his voice. It's very like, oh, this is definitely Sufjan. And yeah, he's kind of a bit of like a genius, I guess, because he has loads of other types of. I'm more drawn to the slower emotive tracks right. he has, but he's got like a big catalog of. I know he's got like a Christmas album that's got like loads and loads of tracks, but if I had to pick the ones that stand out to me, it would be those ones.
Yeah, and I think his latest one's called Javelin, and yeah. I think it's a return to Cary and Lowell and parts of Illinois, which I love.
Yeah,
that's great. My favorite on Illinois is speaking of long titles, it's called like Predatory Wasp of
Same.
Palisades I love that or one something. Too. I mean, it's like, okay, how did you come up with this? You know,
yeah,
about a wasp on the arm, and I don't know, but it the again, I'm not a musician, I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, but the melody on that is just it's intoxicating.
That's one of my favorite tracks from that album too. I mean, it's the lyrics are so out there that you. For me, I just start to imagine what's happening and I'm like, what? You know, and it just kind of, it completes itself. But I actually bought it on vinyl and I went for like the deluxe one because I was like, I need the proper one of this. And it folds out and everything. And there's all these pictures that were drawn of the key elements of each track, you know?
Yeah, the Illinois album is legendary.
Yeah, I if I'm honest, I haven't checked out the new album yet. You know, when you're just on like a different kind of, I've been finding myself back in, there's this album by Ben Howard called, I Forget Where We Were. I think that's it. It's quite funny that I'm saying that, quite questioning myself. I forget where we were. So I'm kind of, I think it's because I'm in a part now where I'm recording a lot of music again. So you're drawn to certain albums and things that will fuel the right kind of juices for that creativity, if that makes sense. So but I haven't checked out the new album. I do need to. I know I'll love it, and that will be my year gone for next year. Musically, Spotify Wrapped will be like just this song.
No, my favorite on that is it's called my Red Little Fox. Yeah, My Red Little Fox. So
nice,
check
nice.
That out.
Well, considering we like a lot of the same songs, I'm just going to spin that after we finish this.
So this the podcast that I do here, you know, it's all about interviewing interesting musicians and hearing about their stories. A lot of it has to do with, you know, sort of this idea of curiosity. I guess at this stage in your career, in your mid-30s, what are you most curious about?
Oh, that's a good question. I like that. I'm curious of what the kind of next project for me is really going to not going to be, because I'm kind of near the end of writing all these songs. I've kind of finished the demoing and extensive kind of like working through a lot of tracks, and it's going down a different place for me. It's something which unfortunately I lost my mother 2 years ago, and that really changed me as a person. And you know, grief is a very, very tricky place to understand and navigate. And that's kind of, I've been going through a process where my music's always been quite introspective and it's always been going through all these things. And for me now, I'm at a place where I feel like the next part of what my stages are in grief is just to kind of let go of the control of what I expect of things and just let it kind of be. So in a weird way, I feel like taking a step back and just doing, not perceiving what's going to be, and just that being it. So I'm excited to see what comes from that. I don't know. I actually feel a bit nervous because it's doing things in a whole different way of what I've done before. Musically, I'm recording a lot of the stuff here at my house, then taking it to Mike, and then we're shaping it into what it's going to be. So I'm allowed to be way more experimental here because I'm not worried about wasting Mike's time in the studio, because he's incredible. He works with amazing artists and he always makes space for me, which I'm always so thankful for. But I'm going in there showing him something, and so I guess I hope that answers what you've asked.
No, that's cool. I guess, can you tell me more about that? How do you know it's going to be so different? You know, in terms of, is that the songwriting process, or is it the type of music that you're experimenting yeah. with?
So a lot of the tunings of the guitar is not standard, which most of the tracks I've released would be standard tuning. So from the initial stage of writing the songs, there is loads of detuned guitars, and I've experimented with loads of like tunings like that. And that's changed the way that I would kind of write the lyrics and vocals. I don't think it's going to be, it might not feel that different to other people, but for me, the process from the beginning has got a different, you know, ingredients. So I think that that's that. And I've kind of got into more of the production side of music. My dream would be, if I can't go and play shows around the world, which that would be the dream for all musicians, if I can't do that, I want to work a little bit more from home and be more creative, you know, because I can't always go out and play shows and do those things to, you know, it's a real dry couple of months in January and December. So, you know, the production side I've included. And the best thing is you can hear something in your head and now you can translate it straight away if you know how to get there. But when I'm working with someone and you're just trying to explain a feeling of a sound, you sound a bit crazy. So, yeah, I feel like there's a lot more of honesty and myself with who I am now in the songs to come. Well, at least that's what it feels like now.
Are you planning a new album in the near future? What can we expect in 2024 from you?
Oh, that is exciting. I don't.
Besides coming to the States some way, somehow.
Yeah, I've got like a whole US tour coming. It's going to be massive. No, I would like to say yes to that, but the reason why it's hard to say yes is I was trying to release an album from 2019. And that process was hard because obviously, you know, going through COVID and working through that kind of stuff, and you change as a person, especially after grief. So I had an idea of having this plan and an album's going to come out and all these things. And, I, you know, having to let that go and be okay with those songs. You know, I'm putting away quite a lot of songs that are finished because I can't relate to them anymore.
No way, really? Wow.
Yeah, so it's not, I can't finish the process because the sounds of the instruments don't sound like right anymore, or, you know, it's quite pernickety, I guess. But so I would like to say that there will be an album, but I think for now I can definitely say that there will be a single because I just finished that and it's been mastered and everything. So that physically has got to a point where I can get there, but probably. I'd like to say there'll be an album. You know, all the work that's allowing that to be a possibility is emotion. Yeah, I just don't want to repeat a mistake of being like for 3 years saying there's gonna be an album and then just shelving it, you know.
No, we'll take what we can get for sure. So if it's one at a time, if you drip it for the next few years, we'll we'll be anxiously waiting for sure.
Yeah, no, that's very kind. That's very kind.
Yeah. So I really appreciate it, Dace. It's so nice to meet you. And I think there's a guitar behind you. Would you mind playing us some music?
I would love to play you some music. Well, I'll play The West. Let's see how that one goes.
You can't take the water. You can take wine from our souls, you can drink it dry, but you can't see the storm. It's coming from the west, it's been howling for days. You can see the sun, yes, leaving the bay. Save tomorrow, I relive yesterday. You can drown in sorrow or feel the pain. You can see the storm is coming from the west. It's been howling for days. You can see the sun. Yes, leaving the bay. Oh, you can see.
Dace, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Best wishes in 2024, man. Let's keep in touch, okay?
Yeah. No, thank you very much. Yeah, all the best for 2024.
Cheers.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Curious Goldfish. Please follow and subscribe to the podcast and on social media. Also, tell your music-loving friends about us too. Until next time, stay curious.